Happy Mother's Day is right. There are tears for a lot of different reasons in your eyes this morning. We are here to honor moms, and we have a variety of different people with different emotions as they go through that. Actually, Noah Minota just made his first appearance, I think, in church today. So Jared and Crystal are excited about that. I don't know, is Madeline Johnson back there? Yeah, Chloe and Charlie. Madeline's been here for 2 weeks, but like I didn't see her. So Madeline's back there, new parents. Plenty of you who were like first-time moms maybe this year, several of you, which is a different spot for us in this church than we've ever been before. First-time moms, right, you guys down here, Danica and Evan are down here. And so plenty of different people on that end of the spectrum, several of you on the other end of the spectrum. Obviously, we've been grieving with the Cantrell and the Billings family, Cherie in the back. Many of you, like, lost mom this year, and difficult and hard and a grieving time, and even over the last few weeks, Sue Tucker, Pastor Lauren's wife, they're not here today, but just lost her mom at the beginning of the year. So we know all of the different emotions and different feelings that go into that. And when you watch a video like the one that we just saw, you realize we're here to honor all different kinds of moms. And I have a secret for you. Mother's Day is a total Hallmark holiday, right? Like, this is a ploy. This is just a thing that somebody made up so that we had to buy cards and so the dads could be tortured. Amen, dads? This is your chance. Come on. Yeah, no. Yeah. That guy wants some brownie points. Mother's Day is a total Hallmark holiday, but the principle behind Mother's Day, honoring moms, is, in all honesty, a very, very Christian concept. As a matter of fact, three times in Scripture, we're explicitly told to honor moms, right? Honoring moms was so important that God put it in his top 10 list. And he told it to us twice in that top 10 list. The Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, says, honor your father and mother. As God's people were becoming a nation and they were becoming the people of God, and they came out of the Exodus, out of the time that they spent in Egypt through the Exodus, and they come to Mount Sinai, and Moses is getting the law there, and God brings that law into existence and boils it down to those Ten Commandments. He puts it right there, right in the middle of those Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. If that wasn't enough, then in Deuteronomy, as they're going to then, 40 years later, as they're going to enter the land, the people of God, Moses reminds them. God tells Moses to remind his people of these Ten Commandments. And again, right there in the middle of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And if that's not enough, Paul, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what, moms? This is right. Obey your parents. If you don't get anything else out of that today, right, you guys, young ones, obey your parents. But then Paul bolsters that command in the New Testament by quoting in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And so, in fact, honoring moms of all kinds, just like the video just talked about, honoring moms is a uniquely biblical command and responsibility. And that's what I want to dig into this morning, is how we honor moms and what that looks like from God's Word, from Scripture. And we're going to look at that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. Out of the three, I selected the one in Deuteronomy, and that's the one we're going to look at. And I'm going to read all Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21, actually, because I want to provide that context and help you to see kind of where this fits in. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 6. The Lord is talking to Moses to the people. He says, I am the Lord, your God. That's so important because that's the identity marker. That's the foundation for all of these commands. I am the Lord, your God. He's reminding them whose they are before he talks to them about what they do in light of that. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he gives them these 10 words, these 10 laws. Number one, in verse 7, you shall have no other gods before, or no other gods besides me. Verse 8, you shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. The third command in verse 11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Verse 12 is the fourth command, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as to the Lord your God, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of the livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servants, your female servants may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Skip down to verse 17, the sixth command, you shall not murder. Verse 18, the seventh command, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 19, you shall not steal. Verse 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And verse 21, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And then right there in the middle, between 1 and 4, which specifically talk about your relationship, how you relate to your God, and commands 6 through 10, which talk about how you relate to other people, right there in the middle, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That command is important for several reasons, and this morning I want to talk about 4 aspects of the command to love your mother and to honor your mother, 4 different aspects. And the first one is this, it's the theological aspect, toward honoring mom. As I said, Mother's Day is a Hallmark holiday. There are profound theological implications in Scripture for why we should honor mom, and this is going to be important in setting the framework for you regardless of your relationship with mom. The group that I haven't spent much time talking about today is those of you who are here who have a difficult relationship with your mom. For those of you who have a bad mom, have a mom that didn't love you, didn't care about you, left, was absent, we realize that those people are here as well. But the theological aspect of this command gives context to all of us for our relationship with mom. And so let me explain that to you just a little bit. When God gave Moses these laws, and they're often called the Decalogue or the 10 words. They're not commands as much as they are words, and they're specific things that go that are related to that. But these are the fundamental principles that relate to having a relationship with God. So the reason that we have the 10 commandments in Exodus, and the reason that we have the 10 commandments repeated in Deuteronomy is this. God gave his people lots and lots and lots of laws and rules and things like that, right? The first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Some of you have made it almost through some of that in your Bible, annual Bible readings, and you're like, this is really intense. Let's go to the New Testament, right? Or Proverbs, that's still in the Old Testament. We can do that too. But he gave them all of those laws, and then it's kind of like the pocket edition to all of those laws. He gave them the 10 commandments, the Decalogue, the 10 words, so that they could memorize them, remember them, repeat them, have them there all the time, because those 10 things were basically boiling down all of those laws into how you love God and how you love other people, which is why in the New Testament, Matthew 22, when they ask Jesus what's the most important commandment, he takes them and boils them down even more. Why? Because we're thick-headed people, right? Give me 605 or 608 things to do. That was the law. I'm in trouble. Give me 10 things to do. I might be able to get there. Give me 2. I got a 50-50 chance, right? And so Jesus boils those down even further. But here's the theological implications, that these were the way that people related to God. These weren't just do this, do that, do the other kind of laws. These were things that specifically, and honestly, as I've been studying for this last couple of weeks, it's like intrigued me about the Ten Commandments. So you may see a series on the Ten Commandments coming sometime soon. I'm not sure. But what I love is you can look at each one of those Ten Commandments, and there are specific reasons for it in relation to how people relate to their God. And also where this command, as I've already said, where this command falls in the Ten is very important, because it forms like a bridge. I read that first verse 6 on purpose because of the context there where it says, I am the Lord your God. The theological aspect of honoring your father and mother, and as I thought about it this week, you think there are a lot of things in that book. Okay, don't have any other gods. That's pretty important if you're monotheistic, right? And like, don't make a bunch of idols because then you'll end up worshiping the idols, which happened about 15 minutes after Moses got these, if you remember the Exodus account, right? So don't have any idols. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, which is a lot more than just saying, oh, God, right, when something bad happens. Because name was tied to identity, name was tied to character, and so if you just flippantly use the name of God, you were flippantly talking about the character of God in that day. That's why we teach our kids, by the way, not to say, oh, God, or JC, or any of those kinds of things. It's not because we don't want them to be crude. It's because we want to honor the name of God. Amen? The Sabbath day was important not just because you needed a day of rest, but you needed a day set out so that you could reflect on who the Lord your God was. It wasn't a day just to kick up your feet, watch football, eat chicken wings like we do today. I do today, right? No, this was all about having a set-aside specific day that your focus and your gaze and everything was on God for at least that one day. And each and every one of the commands has to do with that, and even with the commands toward your neighbor, they relate back to how you relate to God. And here's why that's important. God saw fit to put the way that we treat our parents into those top 10 words. There are profound theological implications for this. It's this for a Christian, that your relationship with your mom has to come out of your relationship with your God. Your relationship with mom, whoever mom is, whatever mom's like, however mom's treated you, whatever mom's done, your relationship with mom has to come out of your relationship with God. If you have a strong relationship with God, then that positively impacts your relationship with mom. And it answers a lot of those yeah buts. Yeah, but my mom is a terrible mom. So on your own power, you don't have the ability to show forgiveness. In your own strength, you don't have the power to show love. But if your relationship with God is what it should be, and you're finding your identity in Christ, which you should as a Christian, then that gives you a foundation and a basis by which you can show the proper kind of Christian love to mom, whoever she is. Forgiving mom. Some of us, maybe that's where we're even at this morning. And then there's the other side of it, because some of us would idolize mom. Right? Mom's our superhero. This is our favorite day of the year because, man, mom was everything and mom is amazing. And mom is a really good mom, but mom makes a really bad savior, amen? And for some of us, if we're looking at mom to be savior and we're looking at mom to be like our spiritual savior, then we're putting a burden on her that she was never intended to bear. And so when my relationship with mom, and when I see the theological implications of honoring my mom the right way, I honor my God first, and out of that relationship, then I honor my mom, and that puts mom in the best place for mom. I love my mother. My mom taught me spiritually. My mom sacrificed immensely. My mom was here last week. It's a good thing she went home, because we'd both be crying right now, right? She's probably watching, so she may be crying. But the truth of the matter is I love her immensely. But it's not fair to her if I idolize her, if I treat her as my functional savior, if every time I have a problem I run to her instead of running to God. So you see, the fact that the Ten Commandments say honor your father and mother meant that they were putting that in the right place, putting that relationship in the right place. And so then theologically, honoring your mom is an act of worshiping God, isn't it? As I work through very difficult things that I may have to work through with mom, that's an act of worship to God. As I put my relationship with my mom under my relationship with my God, that's an act of worship to God. You see how suddenly it takes on profound theological implications, and it's not just a Hallmark holiday where we buy some flowers and some candy that's overpriced and a card that, man, cards are expensive. Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry. Yeah. We buy those things because we love mom. But theologically, we honor and we worship the Lord. There's a second aspect to this as well, and it's what I would refer to as a testimonial aspect, a testimonial aspect. And I love this about the Ten Commandments, and then not only the Ten Commandments, but also in the New Testament, there's something called the household codes. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2 fits into what's called the household codes, the way that you're supposed to act as a household. Remember, like, husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands, obey your bosses, all those kinds of things. In Ephesians chapter 6, that's where this shows up in the New Testament, where Paul says, honor your father and mother. So both the Ten Commandments and the household codes were testimonial imperatives. And what that means is that they weren't just commands for you to do that and for mom to be able to use on Mother's Day. Like, you're supposed to honor me. Maybe breakfast in bed, which you should have done already. If you haven't, maybe lunch in bed, okay? But they were testimonial imperatives, meaning this, that whenever you read like laws and God's codes in the Old Testament, you don't have to read very far away from those in the context for something to be said to the effect that then the nations will know that I am the Lord. Then the people around will know that I am the Lord. So in Exodus, as the people were coming out of Egypt and they were gaining their own identity and they were going to go into the promised land, and in Deuteronomy, when it's finally going to happen, they are the people of God and becoming the people of God, and they're going to be put in a specific place. And then they're supposed to have this identity, which is called a light to the world, if you remember, right? And so all of these different commands, don't have any other gods, because all the nations around you are polytheistic, right? Don't take the name of the Lord your God. And all of those commands were meant not only for them, but to show something to the nations around them. You get to the New Testament, and Paul's saying, like, you know, be nice to your wife and obey your kids, or kids, obey your parents, and all that kind of stuff. Obey your kids. Girls? Okay. Right? Yeah. All of those things are intended, though, to be testimonial to people around, to the outside world. These laws are the ways that other people look at Christians, other people look at the people of God and say, wow, they're different, and it seems to be working out. That's why there's always commands with blessings that are provided there, because it's always supposed to be testimonial. As a matter of fact, last week, Matthew chapter 15, as we were in our core commitment series, and Matthew chapter 15, and the Pharisees and Jesus were getting into it. Do you remember which commandment Jesus refers to indict them? Oh, there's a connection from last week to this week. It's this very one. And the Pharisees, Jesus told them last week that the Pharisees were trashing the command of God to honor your parents so that they could do whatever they wanted themselves. And not only was it bad for them from a religious standpoint, but it was a bad testimony to people around them. And so Jesus indicted them for breaking that command. 1 Timothy chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but it's an interesting chapter because it talks about the family's responsibility to care for widows. Why was that? Why did Paul have to write almost a whole chapter on how families were responsible to take care of widows? Because apparently in that church in Ephesus, Paul had to write and tell Timothy to say this because basically people were expecting the church to do all the work when the family had the means, and it was a bad testimony to outsiders. That they were leaning too much on the church to take care of their family. And Paul says specifically that it's the family's responsibility to take care of the widows and take care of their own family, those in their own family, and that it was a testimony to those outside the church. How we treat our parents speaks volumes to outsiders. Amen, parents? No? How we treat our parents speaks volumes to outsiders. If my kids go to public school and they treat their parents like all of the other kids treat their parents, guess what? Bad testimony. One of my favorite things is when my kids have some of their friends that are, you know, from non-Christian families, and they come over to the house and they get to see our family. And we pray before dinner and we laugh and we enjoy each other and spend time together, and they get to see what that's about. That's called a good testimony. If my kids then go out and start trashing dad, and my dad's so mean, and my dad is so this, and my dad won't let me date, and amen, brother, he won't, right? That's a bad testimony. So the way that you teenagers talk about your parents, treat your parents, love your parents, act when you're not around your parents, there's testimony there. But what about some of us who are older? The way that you treat your parents says something about your testimony. How we honor mom, how we care for mom when it costs us, speaks to outsiders. It speaks to those nurses in the care facility. It speaks to those people at the hospital. I've been in that room when the testimony of the people caring for the one that's in the bed speaks volumes to unsaved people that are hovering around the edges. It's always testimonial. Like honoring mom is going to cost us, isn't it? It's going to cost us, like, physically. Some of you got to go to mom's house and you got to mow the lawn. You got to go to mom's house and you got to clean stuff. You got to go to mom's house and you got to help mom with things. It costs us physically. It costs us emotionally. It could even cost us relationally. But how we honor mom when it costs us is testimonial. It speaks to those outside. And that's why God has it right here in the middle of the Ten Commandments, is because there's a testimony to it. And I'll say one word to dads today. Okay, one statement. The way that we honor our wives teaches our children how to honor their mom. Right? Yeah, and that's scary. Like, for me as dad, I wrote that down. I was like, let's just delete that one. That's not going to work. That's not good. Okay? That's not preachable. Right? But yeah, I'm sitting there at the desk, and I'm like, it's easy to type, but oh my goodness. I thought, like, the way that I honor my wife is, and that's true, because just in a moment of honesty, like, if I am short in the way that I talk to her, if I'm, like, just kind of grumpy and mean, then you know what I start to notice in the demeanor of my children toward their mom? Yeah. The way that we honor our wives teaches our kids how to honor their mom. So there's definitely a testimonial aspect to it. A third and interesting aspect is the beneficial aspect of this command. The beneficial aspect. As a matter of fact, when Paul requotes it, he says, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise, right? It's actually the only one of those 10 words, those 10 commandments, with a specific promise attached. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy. That your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. This is a really cool idea, and you got to understand a little context of Deuteronomy 5, a little even Old Testament context. So in the Old Testament, kind of like in the New Testament, especially in this day, family mattered greatly. And one of the primary responsibilities of family was the teaching and training and instruction of their children. As a matter of fact, if you have a Bible that has Deuteronomy 6 right on the next page or the next swipe, you'll see Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And that's called the Shema. That was like their main commandment that they wanted to remember. And it says, these words I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. And he continues on. But what was supposed to happen is that mom and dad taught the children, and then the children honored mom and dad by honoring their commandments and honoring the teaching, and there's a reciprocal relationship. And then, as you know, if you've read the Old Testament, that was supposed to continue from generation to generation to generation. Mom and dad loved the Lord and lived for the Lord and followed his commandments, taught his commandments to their kids. Their kids honored the parents because, by the way, children, it takes an attitude of honor in order to learn from your parents, right? You're honoring your parents when you learn from them. And so the kids would learn, and then they would honor, and then they would grow, and then they would teach their kids. And that's how the faith was supposed to move from generation to generation to generation. And you can make a case in the New Testament that the same is supposed to be held true. And then here's what would happen. Parents would teach kids. Kids would learn and honor. And then blessings would ensue. That happens all the time in the Old Testament. And that's how it was supposed to be. In fact, if you read the first few chapters of Proverbs, over and over and over again are these words. My son, listen to your father's instructions and forsake not the teachings, your mother's teachings. Something like that. I think it happens 4 or 5 times in the first, just the first few chapters. And then it says, and it gives a series of blessings that would happen. So there's a beneficial aspect to honoring mom. When we don't just honor her by saying, oh, mom, I love you, here are some flowers, but by honoring the teaching that she teaches us, by honoring and growing and doing all of those things. As a matter of fact, a really cool passage in the New Testament you may be familiar with is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it says this. Paul says to Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. What's conspicuously absent from that passage? A father figure, right? One of the great heroes of the faith, Timothy, Paul's young protege, Timothy. And it talks about the faith of his grandmother and the faith of his mother and then his faith, which came from them. Some of you moms need to hear that as a word of encouragement. At this church, we believe that the spiritual growth and spiritual direction of families should come first and foremost from dad. Like, dad needs to step up and be a spiritual leader, but we also understand that that's not always the case. And we are thankful, as I am in my own life, for moms who step up and are strong. We believe that it works best when they're working together, right? And dad's doing his job and mom's doing her job and they're working together. But I think a text like this is important for a day like Mother's Day because it talks about spiritual legacy. Some of you have spiritual legacy. Spiritual legacy is a benefit of kids honoring their parents. When you thrive spiritually, it honors the Lord, but it also honors your mother. When you thrive spiritually, it's something that honors your parents. One more aspect, and this is where we'll get very practical. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So let's be very practical. Honor is a command that denotes action, right? We can say that we honor something, but if we don't act on that, then we're kind of in trouble. So I thought it'd be a cool exercise to let all the moms tell us how they would love to be honored today. Moms, are you ready? Start thinking. What are some of the ways that I want to be honored by my family today? I see the smiles are preparing, and there's some chagrin on the face of some dads. I tried to write down a few. We'll see how close I got. I think there are actually the kind of like three main areas that we should think about when we're talking about honoring mom. We can honor mom physically, right? You can physically bring mom flowers. If I nail this one, ladies, just say amen. You can speak in church if you say amen. Bring her flowers. Amen. Oh, wow. You can honor mom physically, you can honor mom emotionally, and you can honor mom spiritually. I think those are three main ways, and here's some real practicals. Spend some time with her, right? Spend time with mom. Get together with mom. Hang out. You're a teenager. Let me tell you something, okay? If you're a teenager, spends all of your time in your room. My girls don't. Amen. Praise Jesus. You spend all your time here. If you turn off that screen, you open that door, you walk down that flight of steps, and you say, hey, mom, can I help you make dinner? She will pass out. You will probably have to revive her, but it'll make her day. It will, especially if it's a teenage boy. I'm just saying. I mean, it'll make her day. She probably won't let you make the dinner, but the fact that you wanted to, right? Spend some time with her, man. You're older. Mom is older, and, you know, she requires more attention, extra grace required, those kind of things. Spend time with mom. Now, I've got another one written down that I think is important, and it may seem contradictory. Give her a break. I feel like there's some fear. I feel it. Yeah. Moms, it is okay today. Some of you need a break. The kids are running around and requiring all the attention and the grace and all of those things. You need a girls' weekend. There you go. All right. Right? You need a day at the spa. You need to be honored by dad taking all the kids somewhere else. Honor. Right? I remember a mom I heard on Mother's Day. There was a mom, and they were talking about what they wanted to do for the day, and she was like, I'm going out by myself. And I thought, well, that's really weird. But then as I got older, I started to realize more and more and more where she was coming from. But maybe give mom a break is just a really good way to honor her. Take care of her. Right? There's something called the love languages. You've heard of the five love languages? We always like apply those to our spouses, but that's true of people in general. What if you learned your mom's love language? Is she like a total gifts person, quality time, acts of service? She likes hugs. She likes words. What's her love language? Learn that, And then use that, man. That's a way to honor mom. Take care of her. Listen to her. But she calls all the time. It's all right. Because one day she's not going to. Right? And listen. Just listen to her. Say thank you. A lot. It's a way to honor mom. You know, we makes this great meal. We all sit down at the meal. Ah! Boom! We're gone. Right? Thanks, mom. Say thank you with a hug. Especially if her love language is physical touch. Say thank you with a hug. That's honoring her. How about honoring her with your words about her? Right? We can honor her with our words to her, but what about with our words about her? That's a way to honor mom. When other people are talking and when you're around, we have positive things to say about our moms. Do we maybe refrain from some of the negative things that we'd like to say about mom? But we can honor with those words that are about her. We can give her credit for things. Amen, mom? Moms, you do a lot, don't you? Older moms, younger moms, in-between moms, you do a lot. We can honor moms in that way. We can follow her spiritual example. That's a way to honor mom. Follow her spiritual example. How about forgive her? If that's where you're at in your relationship with mom, as you're working on your relationship with the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart about a relationship with your mom, maybe it's time for some forgiveness. Maybe it's time for seeking some reconciliation. Maybe you need someone, a pastor or someone else, to help walk through that process. But that could be a way that you honor mom, or honor mom's memory even, is to do that. And then there's this, right? The fifth commandment is not just a commandment for Mother's Day. It's not just a commandment for a pastor to preach one day of the year. How will you honor mom tomorrow? Like, if there really are theological implications to this, if there really are like Christian testimony implications to this, and spiritual benefit kind of implications to this. This is not just a Mother's Day, buy some flowers, make a dinner, give a gift. How will you honor mom tomorrow, on Monday, the day after Mother's Day? Is it kind of like, oh, did my deed, and phew, I'm glad that's over? Or is it, no, I want to pursue continuing to honor mom. Because if it was important enough to make the Ten Commandments, it's important enough for us to continue to live in our daily lives. Last thing I'll say is this, if you're not a Christian, you're probably here today because you have a mom who cares about your spiritual life. Every Mother's Day, some poor soul gets dragged into church by mom who thinks, man, today's going to be the day, right? And maybe that's you. You're like, uh-oh, right? Here's what I would encourage you. You can honor mom by just considering Christ. If your mom's a Christian, she believes what Scripture says, that all of us are sinners by nature and by choice, and that sin has broken our relationship with God. And we can't work our way back to that. We can't do enough good things to get back into right relationship with God. But that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us, Romans 5 says. If your mom's a Christian, she's placed her faith in Christ. She's admitted that she's a sinner. She's accepted Christ as her Savior. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian and mom like dragged you to church, maybe you're not ready to accept her Savior as your Savior. Maybe you are, and that'd be great. But if you're not, would you even consider Christ? Consider faith in Christ. There are Bibles at either door that will help you with that. New Testament, How to Find God Bibles. They're over here and they're in a little on a little shelf over on this side. Grab one of those as a gift and you can take that out and it helps you think through some of those questions. But that'd be one of the most honoring things that you could do today for your mom is to consider her faith and consider making that faith your own faith in Christ.